The diagnosis of many types of cancer has moved from something that you live with to something that you will not necessarily die from. Even so, the psychological effects of dealing with the diagnosis can be daunting, as well as its after effects. Now, my next guest, Jodie Fleming, has written about this and more in her book, A Hole in My Genes. She is in WA promoting her book and saying that the sales, donating the sales, part of the sales, to those affected by bushfires. And I spoke with Jodie a bit earlier, and she works in the area of psycho-oncology, and I asked her what that was.
Psycho-oncology is a field of psychology that focuses on, I guess, the human emotional side of cancer.
Which is highly important.
Highly important, yes.
What's involved in it?
Well, I think it's very similar to other kinds of psychology practice, except the focus is on those specific experiences that are typical to cancer patients and their families, and also to the healthcare professionals treating patients with cancer. So it tends to happen a little bit more in a hospital setting. And, you know, you start from age zero right through to, you know, elderly people with cancer as well. It covers the whole lifespan.
What's the usual reaction? Well, I suppose that perhaps there isn't a standard reaction, but it must be, and we'll talk about your personal experiences shortly, but it must be a major shock when someone finds out they've got cancer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for such a long time, you know, being diagnosed with the big C felt like a death sentence. And so, yes, and especially when you're younger, then, you know, would be expected. It's a great shock. So shock and denial. You go through a lot of the grief process, really, anger perhaps. And then there can be tons of death anxiety attached to it, fear of recurrence. A lot of people would assume that going through the cancer treatment is the hardest part, but in fact, a lot of issues arise around survivorship when everybody else sees your hair growing back and thinks that you're, you know, back to quote unquote normal. You know, a lot of things are just starting to raise their ugly head for you, the patient. So, yeah, survivorship brings a whole heap of issues.
I imagine this idea of a possibility of it coming back must play on people's minds.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, our brains are hardwired for our survival, right? So any sense of a threat, our brain will latch onto and play back to us over and over to ensure that we do all the things that we need to do to stay safe. So in terms of having a cancer diagnosis, I guess your brain then faces its biggest fear and faces its mortality and our mortality. And so it holds onto that for quite a while. But I remember I travelled to New York and went to Memorial Sloan Kettering after I got better, and had a chat to their social worker there who ran their survivorship program. And I asked her about that. I'm like, well, I always think that every pain in my little finger is the cancer coming back, you know, because you get quite extreme with it. And she said, well, one day you're going to notice that you've gone half an hour without thinking about cancer, and then it's going to be an hour and a day and a month and a year. And after about 4 years for me, that certainly came to pass. And now 10 years down the track, I have to say it's not something that's at the front of my mind at all.
Well, let's come back to your personal story. You've written about this in a book called A Hole in My Genes, and you were diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 37. How did you find out that you had cancer?
I actually discovered a lump in my left breast one night in bed, just accidentally brushed over it, and then went for all of the tests and scans that then revealed that that was, in fact, a breast cancer. Up until then, I'd been working with a lot of young women with breast cancer, so I'd become quite hypervigilant about checking my own breasts, even though I was young. And my doctor at the time, you know, she sort of went along with my, please, can I have an ultrasound every 6 months or so? But she kept saying to me, you're too young, there's no family history, it won't be breast cancer. And then I had the initial surgery on my left breast cancer, and while we were waiting for the follow-up appointment with the surgeon, I found another lump on the right side, which also turned out to be another breast cancer. And then that led us down the path of the genetic mutations, and it turns out that I carry the BRCA1 mutation. So I was always probably going to get breast cancer, even though no one else in my family has.
What led you What led specifically down that path of looking at your genes?
Well, when you're young, that's one factor. And then when I had two within 2 months of one another, that was another factor. And one of mine was what they call triple negative. It had no hormone receptors attached to it, so that makes it particularly aggressive. And so young women's breast cancers are typically aggressive, and then they get treated aggressively as well. So there are a couple of factors that sort of pointed us down that direction. Yeah. And I had to go through the genetic counselling, and that's what we found out.
So it's another element as well.
It sure is, because then it doesn't only affect you, it affects your entire family, and not just your immediate family, your extended family as well, because, of course, we share the same DNA. So if I carry it, then therefore, you know, chances are half of them do as well.
You said that you had been working in that field of looking after cancer patients when it comes to psychological care. Were you able to, when this hit you personally, were you able to take anything from that experience?
So much. It took me a little while to realise that I couldn't work with that population while I was having treatment and going through my own recovery, I guess. And so after about 5 years, I dipped the toe back in, and now I'm back working with people with cancer, and I just love it. It taught me so much. I realised how many of the tools and strategies I'd previously been using that probably didn't even come close to touching the sides. And then it actually allowed me to really hone in and develop a lot of my own practice with things like mindfulness practice, which I used to sort of manage my nausea when I was having chemotherapy. And so being able to sit down with clients now and say, hey, this is a tool that I used when I was having chemotherapy, sort of carries a lot of street cred with it, so they're more willing to give it a go and hopefully get the benefits that I did from it as well.
So greater insight is
much greater insight.
You gained.
I listen a lot better now too.
Listening's a real skill.
Well, isn't it?
In itself. My guest this morning on ABC Radio Perth and WA is Dr. Jodie Fleming, talking to her about, well, her life experiences, but her book as well, A Hole in My Genes. You're in Western Australia at the moment. You're going to be going to various parts of the state.
Yes.
Tell us, and you're planning to use some of the proceeds from your book to go to the bushfire relief effort.
Yeah, well, to Sirens of Silence, a local WA charity that looks after the mental health of emergency services workers. So I thought, considering our current situation with the fires, that would be a really appropriate charity to team up with.
Look, good luck in WA, and thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Jodie Fleming, she'll be at the Bunbury Library on Friday at 10:30 a.m. and also the Bodhi Tree Book Cafe on Saturday at 6 p.m. if you'd like to hear her speak.